Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mughal. Today, I'd like to talk about reinvention, rebirth, something that crossed my mind, and today's title, Be the Phoenix, reflects one of the best symbols of reinvention and rebirth, the phoenix. As I'm talking, if you'd like to call in and give your two cents, your spin on reinvention and rebirth, or whatever you want to talk about, you can call in. The guest call-in number is 323-642-1775. Again, the guest call-in number is 323-642-1775. So I was thinking about the phoenix and how many times I've reinvented myself in a way. In so many ways, I've been a lot of different people in my life. I've changed a lot over the years. When I was a little girl, I was timid, shy, awkward, always expecting to do something wrong or have other people think I was doing something wrong. And that was the worst, to have somebody else think I was doing something wrong. So I was that timid little girl at first. And then when I became a teenager, I was still somewhat introverted, but I started to hang out with more people, got more and more into hip hop. I was hanging out with different people, doing my thing. Again, still shy, still a little introverted. Kind of an artistic nerd, that quiet one that just stayed to herself for the most part. I mean, I had friends and all that, but I was just kind of a loner. Still am to a degree. Then I went to college and I started to come out of my shell more. Became gregarious and fun and adventurous even. And then when my father became ill, I went back to being more of an introvert, staying to myself. And then when he passed away, I can't really tell you what happened in that year, but I was pretty much back to being in my shell. So I was shy Samina again. And then my brother crossed over, and then shy Samina was still there. But then as time went on, it really started to hit me how short life actually is. And you can't sit there and wallow and just be inward. You need to be present. You need to be a moment. You need to share that moment with other people. So I reinvented myself again, became independent, badass Samina. And I'm still independent, badass Samina to this day. Except even within that, I've evolved. I'm more independent, badass, fearless Samina now. So I will probably be changing a little more. Couldn't think of the word for a second. I will probably change a little more before I cross over, but we'll see. And now I've even kind of changed my view on life. It's not so short after all. It is long, but you have to make the most of it. So I have been the phoenix. With all those reinventions, I have been the phoenix. I've risen from the ashes. I've always loved the mythology of the phoenix. It's a majestic bird who lives in paradise. So many, many years ago, I can't say when because it is a myth, but After 1,000 years had passed, feeling old and tired, the phoenix wanted to move on. Since I lived in paradise, I couldn't really die. Could be reborn, though. To do that, the phoenix had to fly to the mortal world. It flew west from paradise, stopping in Arabia first to collect herbs and spices. From there, it went to the city of Phoenicia. When it got there, it used the herbs and spices to build a nest. Then it waited for the sun to rise. In the morning, the sun god raced his chariot across the eastern sky. Phoenix watched and started to sing a song so beautiful that the sun god stopped racing his chariot to listen. When the phoenix stopped singing its farewell song, the sun god continued in his chariot. As he flew away, a spark from the chariot fell and lit the nest and the phoenix on fire. In place of the phoenix, a tiny worm came from the ashes. From the worm, a new phoenix emerged 3 days later. The new phoenix would take the ashes of its parent to Heliopolis before returning to paradise. Then another 1,000-year cycle would begin, and the process would happen again. Now, there are different versions of this story, but I like that one in particular. Now, for you young ones listening who aren't that familiar with the actual myth, folks from Harry Potter was a phoenix. And we get introduced to folks when Harry stumbles into Dumbledore's office and goes over to the phoenix, looks at him, smiles. But then as soon as he walks over to him, the bird bursts into flames. And just as the bird is bursting into flames, Dumbledore walks into the office. Poor Harry makes apologies for not being able to do anything. Dumbledore takes folks' implosion and bursting into flames in stride like he does everything else. Pretty much says he's glad that it happened because folks look dreadful for days. That's what he said. He then explains to Harry how folks will actually be reborn. Harry smiles when he sees a new bird peeping its little head from the ashes. Now, this J.K. Rowling movie version adds how phoenix tears have healing properties, something that eventually helps Harry. And even though this version is different from the Greek phoenix, or this phoenix, folks, is different from the Greek phoenix, it is still a noble and heroic character who is not tragic in any way. It dies and is reborn. To me, this story is not really a story about death, but about rebirth and new beginnings. The singer Maxwell said in the song Lifetime, "I was reborn when I was broken." That's kind of what you have to do when you are broken. You have to begin again. You have to put yourself back together and begin again. The other choice is to stay broken, which some people choose to do, which I've never understood. They do the same things with the same kind of people. They make the same kinds of decisions that lead to continued pain, and they don't get themselves out of it. Kind of addicted to their victimhood in a sense. I don't know, maybe it gives them purpose. And then some of these people like to blame their circumstances. It's not the circumstances, it's the choices that people make. The phoenix in the myth chooses to burn, to reinvent itself. It sings before it goes up in flames. It accepts the ending of its cycle. Not only does it accept it, it celebrates it with a song. Like I said, I've experienced many new beginnings. I've reinvented myself many times. Sometimes that reinvention was smooth. Sometimes it was painful. When I went away to college, that was a smooth beginning. When I first moved to Philadelphia, that was a smooth beginning. When I moved back to Lansville, Pennsylvania, the town I'd been dying to get out of since I was 15 years old, that was not so smooth. As a matter of fact, it was painful, the result of a broken relationship and a broken heart.
blah, blah, blah. I'm not going into that story of heartbreak. It's pretty much cliche, and I'm avoiding that like the plague in this podcast. I always want you to hear something new or something slightly different, and that's an old tired story that I don't really want to tell. So to add that already painful experience, I lost two members of my family pretty much next to each other. I fumbled my way through grief all while navigating my way through a new job. Eventually, I decided I was still here, even if two people I love weren't. And then I just decided to do what I had to do and reinvented myself again, made myself stronger. Found myself picking up the pieces from other heartbreaks. At one time, I experienced out-and-out betrayal from someone I trusted. It wasn't a romantic situation, but I won't go into detail here because I am respecting the other people involved in the situation. I bring it up because I had to rise from those ashes. And when I say ashes, I mean it. I was so distraught. I was hysterical. I don't get hysterical, but that situation made me hysterical. Usually, I can either keep a situation or I don't care enough about it to let it affect me. That's true. If I don't care enough, I don't bother. So I rose from those ashes, but I didn't have a 1,000-year stint in paradise. Not even close. My nest was set on fire again. It's always jarring when you realize people who you love and care about don't really care about you in the same way. I know deep down inside they love me in their way, but their actions didn't show it. I find it so ironic, and since I'm a former English teacher, now a writer, I love irony, that people who say they love you are capable of doing the shittiest things to you. Like that's a real big irony to me. Now, I've had strangers, looking back on how the people closest to me did the shittiest things to me, I've realized I've had strangers and acquaintances show me more care and concern than the people closest to me. That comparison, the good thing about that comparison, I'm not big on comparisons, but the good thing that came out of that comparison is that it made me realize that it wasn't me, that I wasn't doing anything wrong to deserve shitty behavior. I wasn't less than because people did shitty things to me. How others treated me was not a reflection of who I was. I had to learn to separate my self-worth from how I was treated. And I learned to do that. I separated my self-worth from how I was treated. Had nothing to do with each other, I realized. It was a valuable lesson, but I rose again. This time, my new beginning was smooth. I had a longer stint in paradise this time. It was the first time in my life I lived alone. I enjoyed the hell out of it. 10 years of doing my own thing without telling anybody shit. No one that I had to answer to. Well, let's see, about 5 years ago, I brought someone in my life that I had to answer to. My dog. That creature just came into my life and took it over, but that's okay. I answer to him, but he will be the only one for a long time that I will answer to. I lived alone and just enjoyed the hell out of it. I had a few bumps in the road, though. Life isn't perfect, it's ebb and flow. But they only led me to other beginnings. During this time was the beginning of me really taking care of myself. And what I mean by that is I started to say no. When I didn't want to do something, I didn't feel bad about it. I started to look at, okay, if I do this, I may be helping someone, but am I hurting me more? So that's when I started to do that. Started to put myself first when it really mattered.
And it was also the beginning of me feeling comfortable in my own home and my own skin. Not to say I never felt comfortable where I lived before, but what I am saying is that for many years of my life, I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And that was the beginning of me being comfortable in my own skin. So the reason for that, and I don't attribute that, me not feeling comfortable in my own skin, I don't attribute that to anybody else but me. Because I didn't feel peaceful inside. So this was the beginning, this time in my new home alone, that was the beginning of me feeling peaceful inside. That particular chapter came to an end. And when I started to feel it was time for me to move on, I made a choice to leave all that I prepared for and knew behind. Difference was, at this time, I didn't have to rise from the ashes. It was a smooth beginning, and I am grateful for that. It was a smooth beginning because I allowed it to be. I created that smooth beginning. But honestly, at this point in my life, and actually, it's always been the case, in all honesty, but even if I had to rise from the ashes, I still would have done it. Because I always choose to rise, no matter what is going on around me, whether it's from the ashes or from paradise. I always choose to elevate. You have to. You have to brace yourself for the changes if you need to and move ahead. Sometimes you have to let parts of your life be destroyed. I know that's a strong word, destroyed, but sometimes you just have to be willing to shake things up. And sometimes you don't have a choice. If you allow it, you can be renewed, reborn. And for me, that's always exciting. A great example of how this is done is just nature. Nature renews and revitalizes in so many ways. If you live in the Northeast, you have four seasons. Leaves change color and fall to the ground. The grass gets bleak and gray. Then the winter comes and the frost and the snow come, and winter puts everything on pause almost. And all of this whole process, is only be reborn again. The leaves come back. The grass becomes green again. The rain flowers. Nature renewed again. Nature takes care of itself. It clears out the old and leaves space for the new. Nature doesn't resist change. A dying tree falls on the ground. It doesn't resist. It doesn't clamor and cling to life. It accepts its cycle. It accepts that its cycle has come to an end and moves on. New trees will come. Nature keeps going. Unless humans come along and fuck it up, which they do. When humans aren't interfering, nature does this beautifully. We can really learn from nature. I've said that so many times, I'll continue to say, nature is a great teacher. We can accept the cycles and accept that even when the old goes away, the new can be even better. A lot of us are afraid of what's new or afraid of change, but you can't be afraid. Sometimes people are afraid because they see an ending of something. You can't really look at things as an ending. Or at least focus on things being an ending. Instead of focusing on an ending, you need to focus on a new beginning. That's really what it means to be a phoenix and rise from the ashes. To not focus on what's ending, but focusing on what's beginning. This reminds me of a poem that Octavia E. Butler wrote for her book, Parable of Talents. In order to rise from its own ashes, a phoenix first must burn. Be the phoenix. Nobody wants to burn, but sometimes you have to. What you've heard in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check it out on www.SaminaKMogul.com. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.